This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105 Through the Fan. You got me, Kevin Hagelin. You got Corey Majors. Chris Strong running the board today. And the return of Mike Bacsik. Howdy, gentlemen.
Hey.
Oh, no.
I won't be here long.
What?
Because guess what? For the first time in my whole life, I am going to a hockey playoff game.
Oh! That game, I have been invited by a friend. Though.
But that game's really late tonight, so you don't have to leave early.
I don't know. I'm just saying.
It's right there.
But I don't know. After Hockey Mike...
Uh-huh. Oh, you mean, like, okay.
Yeah,
gotcha.
After tonight, I don't know what's going to happen to me after this game. I've never been to a playoff game before for hockey. This is the first time ever playing the Las Vegas Knights.
Do you think there's a chance they'll be behind 6-0 in the first period like the Mavericks?
I tell you what, if Jamie Benn, 1 minute into this thing, slams a dude's head into the ice, it's bad news.
He's not frustrated yet, all right? He's not frustrated yet. So that's what happened by that time.
I do recall that happening.
Yes. So, yeah, man, we'll just leave it at that. But I did miss Mike's sarcasm as we were in, like, notes right up to the last second before the microphones turn on. Like, those things were missing last week.
I missed the first part. I don't know if I missed the second part of your, you know, redone song lyrics right until we're going on the air. I don't know if I totally missed that part, but... I did miss you, buddy, and I'm glad you're back.
I'm glad to be back, and I see our email for the run sheet. I also see Game 4 recap. Arlington's struggle continue. Renegades fall 17-9 to our rival Houston.
That
Renegades?
Is not
Cougars. I don't know what they
on
are.
On the run sheet.
Oh, okay. All
right. It might be in Gridiron, but okay. We missed you. And speaking of misses, let's go to the Dallas Mavericks, who couldn't make a basket to save their life. Let's go with cut four, because these are pretty much all Clippers highlights, as they should be.
A 19-point lead. Here's Harden looking to shake Hardaway. Harden, step back, is good. Plus the foul.
Where to begin? Because I would make the argument that...
At the beginning.
That does make sense. I actually kind of want to move to the second
I think it
quarter.
Might have been 5-5. If I remember, the last time we were tied was 5-5.
We did it. We had it going.
And that was it.
And then it was all over. I just feel like when you shoot that poorly, you're probably going to lose most of those games. However, I don't want to limit it to that because I think there were other issues besides that. I want to start with this issue. I know I was joking earlier about Luka and Dak. Just joking. It did feel as though... Luka was not as aggressive shooting the ball as at least I would have liked, because it seemed like he had multiple times where he broke through the lane and it looked like he moved past the coverage for the basket. He did kick it out to good shots. I'm not arguing against that, but I'm like, you have the 2 points. It's there. Take it.
It was interesting. He wanted, once again, Danny Green's coming on today, right?
He is.
It's the most easy thing that Suns general manager we had on, even though Danny Green didn't want to recognize it 3 weeks ago when I mentioned it to him. Probably because he's never watched a Mavs. Let's be honest. He was in the league, so he's never watched a Mavs playoff game that he wasn't playing in. It's the easiest thing to take away. The lob dunk on the pick and roll is the easiest thing. I'm going with Suns general manager Ryan McDonough. He's like, it's the easiest thing to take away when you're preparing for Luka Doncic. You can take away that roll dunk pretty easy. They were doing that. And so Luka has to attack more on that. They were not going to allow Gafford or Derek Lively to get easy dunks to start the game. They were going to make Luka kick it to a corner, kick it to a wing, or try to finish with a little bit of traffic in the paint.
Yep.
And he's, for the most part, the first one he did, he got the easy layup. But he kept kind of like probing and not really wanting to be assertive in it. And he was like, I want to get, you could tell to me, He wanted to get Gafford. Obviously, he got two fouls really early, but he wanted to get Gafford going, and they weren't allowing it. And then he kind of maybe wanted to get Lively going, and they weren't allowing it. And it was like, dude, score 40. If they want you to take every shot, but it doesn't need to be a step back three.
Yes. Yeah, and then it didn't help that whenever he kicks it out to somebody else on the perimeter in those corner threes, those aren't going down.
They missed. Yeah, like, so that, definitely.
And they're not closing out on Derrick Jones Jr. They're not closing out on Maxi Kleba. They're gonna.
Nor should they.
Yeah, and they're not gonna close out on our shooters. They think they suck.
Yeah,
and they proved L.A. Clippers scouting report right. Guess what? All the guys on the Mavericks besides Luka and Kyrie suck at shooting threes. Let them shoot. Hopefully they get better at it.
Yeah, hopefully the P.J. Washingtons drill theirs, the Derrick Jones Juniors drill theirs in the next game. I was kind of concerned about a lot of the times where they were like, we can't make threes, so let's get around the basket, get closer, and they were still falling short on those. Like, even Luka was hitting the front of the rim on those shots, and that was frustrating because it didn't look like they could finish. And they, while they had those opportunities to be around the basket.
Man, that kind of manifested itself in the free throws too, right? Not just free throws, but how many free throws did you see that were short that would go like off the front of the rim, especially in the first half? You're like, I don't think it should be fatigue at this point.
No, I do think nerves. There was probably nerves. Obviously, the energy's in L.A. because it's their home crowd. The Mavs couldn't feed off of anything besides themselves, and they were not feeding off of themselves yesterday. The other thing, too, is I was listening to Sean and RJ and Bobby. I don't want to let Kyrie off the hook here either. He's had a great season for the Mavs when healthy, and he was healthy the whole second half and awesome. He sucked, too. When Luka was struggling a little bit, even when they took Luka out, I don't know, with 3-4 minutes to go in the first quarter, Kyrie did absolutely nothing to help the situation. So, yes, Luka wasn't good. Literally nobody was good on the Mavs, but I also want to blame Kyrie, too. Mm-hmm. It's supposed to be this 1-2 combination that's unstoppable. One stunk and two stunk.
Kevin, I know you don't like this, but I will also give the Clippers a lot of credit.
Boo.
They fronted everything, man. They got right there in front of everybody that got the ball. They were on them, and they were stuck to them, and they did a good job playing defense yesterday. And that's one of the things that they can rely on, is they can play really good defense along the perimeter too.
How good was Terrence Mann on this? Is old school basketball, because nobody does this anymore. Like, talking to Jess's crush, Greg Ostertag.
Yes.
Nobody does this anymore. Everything's a switch. If they set a pick, you have to switch. Terrence Mann's like, F that. I mean, at least I was taught this at Duncanville. I know I barely, didn't play like high-level basketball. But you pull your ass in, and you get over the top of the pick. You don't let that guy pick you. You get into the body of the person dribbling the ball, and then you scoot your ass up underneath you, and you get over the top of that pick and don't let him use it. And then if you need a light hedge from your guy, you hedge. Now, they were in drop coverage. If you don't know what that means, it just means like Zubac or whoever was dropping, not hedging, which would be like you're overshooting the pick to make him go around you too. But I thought Terrence Mann, I don't like him because he's an irritant of Luka. Terrence Mann had a better game than Luka Doncic, and part of it was he was just fighting over picks like old school basketball.
What did you think then about Amir Coffey in terms of the defensive aspect? I'm not saying
to Corey's point, I give them all credit. They all, Tyronn Lue, whatever game plan he put together, they executed it to perfection, and their aggressiveness, their assertiveness on everything was, I don't even want to say 2 times better than the Mavs, 10 times better than the Mavs.
Yeah, I did see Kevin Sherrington. I only read the headline. I need to go read the story because he said the kid got out coached. And I don't know exactly what details he has that says that he got out-coached in game one. Now, the whole series, let's see how that plays out, because that's where you make adjustments. That's where I think the coaching comes in. But if he got out-coached because Tyronn Lue said, we're going into game one like it's game seven, then, yeah, he definitely did. That whole line where, hey, we can't ease into this game, the Mavericks looked like they were easing into the series. And the Clippers looked like they wanted to make a statement immediately. The aggressive nature, the attitude about the game was the most important factor. They had it. They had all the swag. Now, some of it, Mike, is because you're on home court. You have all that to go along with it. Everybody, they're just cheering for you. This was one of those where the Mavs looked like they were just trying to, all right, let's see what their plan is, and then we'll figure something out from there. Maybe they got some things figured out yesterday that they can take into game two.
And I see a lot of the feedback, and it kind of revolves around the bigs, and I definitely understand that. Horrible rebounding and blocking out yesterday from the 8-3-2, from the 2-1-4 for the first time since we got Gafford. He looked terrified to play against Zubac.
That's what I was feeling. I know Zubac said in the interview, he was like, I'm the biggest guy on the court. I need to act like it. Somebody was telling him before. They were talking to him, telling him, you need to be a force on this, and Gafford didn't look like he was ready for that.
Zubac has played in, I'm just guessing, about 30 to 40 playoff games. Gafford, first one ever.
And by the way, Zubac...
He was in the Eastern Conference first round. Okay. I just looked that up. They played against Philadelphia in 2021.
And I feel like this is probably a particularly exciting matchup for Zubac, because he's like, I remember the last time.
He's been embarrassed every time against the Mavericks.
And all of that to say...
And Luka was still trying to hunt him. He was still trying to find him, and the Clippers did a really good job of not allowing it often.
And I get this from the 2-1-4. I do want to point this out. Just pointing out, every home team won game one. Let's take a chill pill and reset for game two.
In all the sports. And hockey, too.
That is particularly wild. The thing I want to say about that, though, is it's not just that you lost. It's that you got blown out and no Kawhi. That's the other thing is the Clippers didn't have their
best
player.
The Heat might have had a better game than you did, and they had no Jimmy Butler, and they just got off of playing two play-in games.
And I think I'm not saying by any means is the series over or anything like that. You lost game one on the road. It's just you lost it emphatically, and the Clippers didn't have their best player, who was also a phenomenal defender.
I don't know this. I'm going to bet because they won game one, Kawhi is definitely not playing game two. I think they're going to give him more time because that knee seems to be, at least the report on the broadcast yesterday is like, it's almost like they don't understand why it's acting up.
Just to your point, the spread has gone up a point in the last like 12 hours or so. Dallas is favored by 2.5 going into tomorrow's game. So it could be better as kind of looking at that or just sitting like, hey, I think if we're going to err, let's err on the side of he's not playing as opposed to he is. So that's just a note right there for you.
I get another question to you guys. Did y'all feel like Hardaway didn't shoot threes whenever he had a chance?
I think he played like 3.5 minutes or 4 minutes of the first half. Am I right about that? He didn't play a lot of minutes.
Low number. I don't know the exact.
There were times where I was like, okay, he's going to the basket. He doesn't have a clue what to do other than go to the basket. Like, he wasn't passing. Even they had a 3-on-1, and he was like, I'm still taking it to the rack.
He did show some speed a couple of times going to the basket.
Yeah, and then the ball went out of bounds. But even still, like, I just felt like he's, you know, I don't know where he is mentally right now. Like, where with his, but you. He has to be a knockdown three guy for you at some point, too, especially if you got to get something off the bench. He's got to be that for you. Derek Lively, I appreciate all the defensive effort he gave out there and everything that he was given out there. But Derek Lively, we still need some more from him there, too.
I hate saying this because, you know, I'm not a Tim Hardaway Jr. fan. I think he can shoot you out of a game and shoot you out of a series. That's how bad it can be. But to Corey's point, he might be able to provide some offense that you – I like Derek Jones Jr., but they're not guarding him.
Yeah.
He went 0-4 from the field. They tried, and most of his minutes, I would say, to me, came in the first half.
I agree.
Usually he plays like the first 6 minutes or 7 minutes of the game, and then you don't see him again until the start of the third quarter. Yeah. But Jason Kidd went back to him and is like, Derek Jones Jr., it's one game. And that's, like, to your point, it's one game. Tomorrow's going to mean a whole bunch to the Dallas Mavericks, at least for fans, too. Like, do we have a chance? But when you have Derek Jones Jr., Maxi Kleba, and Derek Lively out there.
With a lot of not shooters.
Like, that's three guys you don't have to guard. You have to watch.
You're athletic.
You have to watch the role of Derek Lively. Yeah. Kleba, you're like, if you want to take 100 shots, we don't think you'll make 20 of them. Like, they don't believe it. And they're like, if he does, we'll lose. We're fine with Maxi Kleba beating us on wide open shots. We're fine with Derek Jones Jr. beating us on wide open shots. So that's the thing is, will they stay more connected to Hardaway Jr. or will they allow him to have open looks? And could he hurt the other team? Because who else is going to hurt the other team with open three-point looks besides Luka and Kyrie, who they're either double-teaming or soft double-teaming? And
it's a hot Hardaway, and that's it.
Yeah.
Maybe Exum, you hope, if he got hot. But That's a big wish and hope right there. I think we need to dive into this, probably not at this moment, but at another time, because we do talk about this a lot. We're always trying to educate the people around here. From the 972, I'm sorry, but what is the difference between playoff and non-playoff basketball? And they obviously mean beyond just the where does it fall in the calendar. And I actually think that's something that we can chop up a little bit more at some point later.
The likes of James Harden and Paul George turned it on for you.
I would say real quick, just to answer it real quick, Clippers played 8 people. One of them played 13 minutes, and they blew us out.
Yeah.
Your rotation gets shrunk down to 7 guys. You're only playing 7 guys, and your main players are now going to play 40 to 43 minutes a night in close games.
The court's less open. It feels like there are quite a
look
few
at the
things.
Oklahoma City score. It was 17-17 after one. You don't see that in the regular season.
Well, and the other thing too, was it every single timeout that Lou called, he gets points. He gets a shot, a good shot for his guys coming out of the timeout that sets up a three. Like that's another thing is that dude right there. He did draw it up very well, and you're not doing that during the regular season. You're doing different things in the playoffs.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. Coming up next, Dak and Jerry don't feel the QB leaving the Cowboys. But I want to know, at this point, what do you think is actually going to happen with his contract? Let's talk about it next right here in the Fan.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Back on his right, they'll give it a Pollard, and he's going to be hit from here. Oh, he kept it. He's still good running up the middle. Touchdown. Oh, he faked me out. What a great fake and an 18-yard run up the middle by Dak Prescott.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105 Through the Fan. We talked about it before. I'm curious if your opinions have changed at all about what's actually going to happen with the Dak Prescott contract, because he said something interesting over the weekend at the Children's Cancer Fund gala.
Did he?
Or do you say gala?
Gala.
Him and Troy Aikman were there representing the organization, great as usual. And he was kind of asked about his contract and stuff, which that feels like an odd time, but you know, that's cool. I'm not going to say I fear being here or not. I don't fear either situation, to be candid with you. I love this game, love to play, love to make myself better and my teammates around me. Right now, it's with the Dallas Cowboys. It's where I want to be, and that's where I am, and that's the focus. And after the season, we'll see if we're here and what the future looks like. And if not, we'll go from there.
How many other quarterbacks go to a children's cancer gala and have to answer questions like
that? It is weird. That's like fair.
That's got to be the other at the excessive frustration. Is, dude, I'm here for this.
Right.
And this
you
is
have
what
questions
I have to deal
about
with
what
today?
We're doing for children's cancer funds.
Yeah. I'm not answering idiot. And he could have said that, right?
Yeah, he did.
I'm not going to answer any other questions other than this. So that's there.
So the question then to go along with that is, he says, I'm not worried about it. Jerry said, I'm not worried about it. Now I realize Jerry comes to perspective of course, no one would
deadlines make deals. Yeah.
What do you think's actually going to happen now? Because this has gone way further than I thought.
Dak's going to get everything he ever wanted. Dak will get exactly what he wants.
Before the season?
I don't know when. I don't
but
care.
He will.
He's going to get, he's going to get his 3-year, 60 times, $380 million contract. Oh, $150 million guaranteed. And I think that just ask, call up Dak's agent right now and say, what are you hoping for? And I would say that's what he's going to get at the end of the day.
Would he get that from any other team?
Not from a lot of teams, but from some, yeah.
Somebody's going to pay him that?
I think somebody
I could see that.
Okay. Kirk Cousins was on ESPN last night during the Maverick game.
Did you see Jared's tweet dunking on
him? Yes,
of course
I saw Jared's tweet. I thought it was awesome.
But I just think that, yes, there would be 3 to 4 teams that would give Dak a 3-year, $180 million deal. And so if he hit the market, which nobody ever does, that's good at football, then he would hit the market and get that deal. He probably would get all 180 guaranteed, to be honest.
Mm-hmm. Like Aaron Rodgers had overstayed his time at Green Bay.
Sure.
But all along the while, he had a Super Bowl to sit on. He also had MVP after MVP to be like, hey, I'm the best quarterback there is right now. If I want to go somewhere else, you guys want to send me. It's costing you money. Y'all are in a bad situation. I guess, Kevin, you know, you care a lot about the salary cap.
I do.
And a lot of people, I keep hearing this all the time. Well, if you wait longer, it's just going to cost you more. And it seems like the Cowboys don't care about that.
With certain positions, two of them being quarterback and wide receiver, I definitely agree with that.
They seem to just go, well, the market's going to change anyway, so we'll just end up paying that and kicking all that money down the road. So
madness.
So that's where I don't think this is a real, hey, you know, either you get us to the Super Bowl or we're done, we're moving on. I'm fine with that. If that's what was going to happen, I'm perfectly fine with that. I think Dak says, I have plenty of time in my career where I can continue to do that. So why do I have to do that for you if you're not going to treat me well? And you're like, well, I mean, we've treated you pretty well along this way. We've given you all these tools. All this things keeps happening. So I do think that he performs good enough this year to keep McCarthy's job and keep his job. And then
does that look like anything in particular to you? Like, do you have a baseline for good enough? Like, I'm not disputing.
They have
that.
11 wins this year, okay, and win a playoff game. And
Wait. I like the 11 win thing. What did you say after that?
You don't
that?
Like the playoff? He has a couple playoff wins.
That's true.
He does have that. I mean, but I think that's about it. Like, I don't think it goes any further than 11-ish wins, and then they get to that point.
So
now does the rest of the team fall apart and they're not involved too? That's another factor that I guess we put on Dak's plate is you also have to judged for everybody else's failures too.
It is a tough dynamic. From the 682, I kind of think this person's right, and this is one of the many reasons that we don't win high level football games. The Cowboys won't trade Dak, but I also think they don't want him anymore. It's not just what if that's true. What the hell kind of sense does that make? If you have an asset that you could get something for and you don't want to keep it around long term, get rid of the asset. Now, if you do want to keep Dak Prescott long term, then you definitely should. But if that's the case where they're like, I don't know.
Do you think Jerry is afraid of trading him and him being successful somewhere else?
I think yes.
Okay.
But Dak has to completely agree to the trade. He has a no trade clause. Yeah. So yes. I think that's one of the tough things here is,
I wonder if he would, because you're right. Usually those trades will come along with a, here's your new deal. So you're right about that. But I do wonder if Dak would be like, yeah, that's fine, because then I can negotiate a new deal. I don't know. But that's a fair point to bring up.
Yeah. So I get what the person's saying. I think the Cowboys know that Dak is good, not great. They'll never tell you that. Like, that audience, they're never going to ever say that in a press conference or anything, but they know Dak isn't great. They know he's really good, though.
Yeah.
Like, they're not – he's a good quarterback in the NFL. They're never going to tell you the truth about how they feel about him. But I think that they're going to give him what he wants, because I'll use a Stephen Jones thing again. At the end of the day,
yeah,
he's right around a top 10 quarterback in the NFL. He's right on that.
Yes.
That number of 10 – put him wherever you want around that number.
By the way, last week Steven did reference he finished second in MVP. So.
Yeah, I mean, that's Steven. He's a company man. Hired by the company.
Fair enough. This I don't agree with at all. From the 682, Dak is not getting an extension if he doesn't make the NFC Championship game. I don't view it that way at all.
Nobody in the history of this game has ever become a free agent in Dak's situation. At 30 years old?
You don't consider Cousins?
No, I don't. I mean,
I'm seriously asked.
That's the closest we've gotten, right?
Yeah. In terms of a quarterback,
Matthew Stafford traded from Detroit. I mean, even recently,
older.
Yeah, Aaron Rodgers, close to 40, traded to the New York Jets. I mean, this is never if Dak gets to free agency, real free agency, to me, I would describe it as the first time in the history of football a person like Dak at that position got to free agency.
You know, and that was something that Broaddus was in the last contract. Broaddus was like, what if the Cowboys are that team that bucks the trend of paying the quarterback because he hasn't done it?
Yeah.
You know, like you got lucky that you stumbled into this guy, but the Cowboys were afraid of going through the Clint Sterners and Ryan Leafs and all that to find that next guy. You don't want to go through a couple bad years in order to find the Caleb Williams, if you will, or whatever that pick is going to be that turns into the next guy. Although Kevin does, it looks like it's been proven consistently that first round quarterbacks are the ones that get you there. Tom Brady being the very big outlier.
He's an outlier, yeah.
And all that. So I think there's a lot of fear in the way that they do this.
From the 469, Jerry Cut Romo, believe me, he'll let go of Dak. The issue with that is
he couldn't touch his knees.
Yeah.
His toes. He couldn't even touch his knees during stretching.
He also had the replacement.
Yes.
Now, if Trey Lance is the replacement that Jerry was so ready to go after, hey, then there it is. It's already built in. And they do have some thoughts on Trey Lance based on the way that they looked at him before. You know, they did look at him and they graded him whenever he was coming out in the draft. So that's the reason. They had seen the play. They had already seen what it was going to take. They saw Dak Prescott come in and he took a team that was built to win right then. They had the offensive line, they had the defense, they just drafted the running back. They were built to win right then. So Jerry was like, yeah, we can move on from this because the team had bought into Dak too. Everybody was all behind Dak Prescott. And that's why they were like, okay, we can move on from Romo.
Here's the thing that I go back to. And maybe we need to phrase the question differently. We've attempted a few different times. Maybe we need to phrase a question like this with Steven. Have you guys painted yourself into a corner where you can't let Dak walk? Because once the season, this has taken longer than I thought. I honestly thought they would have had a deal done by then. But just remember, even after the season's over, he's a free agent. Let's say he goes elsewhere. You still take a huge cap hit because of him. Even though he's not on your team and you didn't cut him and his contract just ran out, the way they just kept pushing the money, you're still taking, I think it's like 38, 40 million. It's a gigantic number. So I feel like the Cowboys are going to be like, well, hell, just pay him $60 million. We're going to have to pay him $40 either way. Might as well get him for $20 more million. And we'll all agree Dak's worth way more than $20 million.
You sound like that's the most reality.
Yes.
And that you're not, is it resigned to it? It just sounds like it's beating you down.
It's because that's a dumb strategy. Here, we've talked about this many times. You have to decide right now. Don't tell me you're going to wait until we're all in this year. Bull crap. I do not believe that if Dak loses in the divisional round, 17-9, just like you've seen before, I fundamentally do not believe that the Cowboys will say, well, he's not good enough and we have to move on. I just don't.
I think the only way they move on is if he has a major injury. That's it. And like, even if they go 8-9, I think Dak still gets $180 million on a three-year deal.
And I kind of fall on that. And if that's the case, do the deal now because you could have flattened out the number. And I know if you're like, free agency is over, people are going to get cut. People are going to get moved on. And you would be in an advantageous position compared to most teams in the league to just go pick off all of those players and be like, hey, nobody else has got money. I got money because look what we just did. You could save so much right now. If you are not going to get rid of him under most any circumstances, give him the extension now. Give him the extension now.
It is weird though. Like at least Steven's approach with us has been
going nowhere in a hurry.
The results that we've got, he's 12 wins is nice.
Yeah.
12 wins a season.
Steven brought it up.
For three straight years is very nice. But because the extra successes haven't happened, it's not right. So their methodology, their approach, which has gotten them 12 wins a year, isn't enough to get them the playoff successes that the fans are demanding. And this is the first time in a long time that I think the fan base has been this pissed off at them. And I think I don't know that that's the difference for them.
Okay. This might be a conversation for another day. What would you say if I said the fan base is demanding and my response was, no, they're not? That's what they say, but not really, right? Because I'm one of those people. I'm not going to stop watching the Cowboys because they won't make a more better big picture move because I love the Cowboys. So I'm guilty. I'm in that group of, I want more playoff wins. Well, what are you going to do about it? Probably nothing.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And I think that's where most Cowboys fans are. It's like, I demand, but not really, right?
Yeah, and do you think that Jerry's they're going, what can they do?
I kind of.
And drinking 100%. His Johnny
Blue. Yeah.
One of his favorite things is when people drop season tickets. It opens up the PSL.
Yeah.
More like, money. Sweet, more money. Drop him. He'd love for 10% of his audience to drop them that go to the games. That opens up 10% more PSLs to buy the same tickets at a higher price.
For the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time for Baseball Nuggets with Mike Bashan.
All right, overall, the road trip and Wyatt Lankford, Gunnar Henderson comparison next.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan. Right now, it's time for Baseball Nuggets with Mike Bashan.
All right, overall, 5-5 on the road trip. That's not bad when you look at who you play. Now, Houston does stink this
year.
You're
the worst.
Right, they only have, how many wins do they have?
Seven.
Yeah, but if they hadn't played the Rangers this year, is it three?
Three?
Yeah, they won three games in Major League Baseball.
I think they're 3-11 against non-Rangers teams, something along those lines.
And 4-3 against the Rangers.
Yeah, they've been terrible.
So, I get it, because you could say, no, they stink. You did a bad job in Houston to start off this road trip. I'm not going to argue that, because they do have a bad record, but on a piece of paper, you look at Houston as a team that's been to the ALCS 7 years in a row, and you go, that's probably going to be a tough place to play before you go there. But they haven't been this year. Detroit's off to a solid start.
Yeah.
They're better than a lot of people think. Their offense is below average. Their pitching is above average. And so that's who Detroit is this year, it looks like. And you took 3 of 4 from there. It looked like Atlanta was probably going to sweep you as Ozuna hit the big home run yesterday to start off the game, and you're like, well, I mean, the Braves are the favorite to win the World Series this year. And,
I definitely thought that was
good. And they look better than you. And then, luckily, we hear the Evan Carter home run. You had the big home run by Garcia. You also had a very scary situation when Garcia missed the fly ball in the eighth inning, and David Robertson then gave up a ground ball that I think this is unfortunate about sometimes the shift is – Simeon's so close to second base, he has to cover second in case the ball is hit anywhere because Seager's not close to the base because he's playing Riley to pull. And Nate Lowe is the first baseman going, well, I have to cover first base. And it was like, I don't think it's anybody's fault. That's probably a hit no matter what because it's hit so slow. But then you get that and you're just like, oh, no. You start feeling like this is going to be an unlucky bad inning. But David Robertson and Kirby Yates, just like last year in a way, Will Smith, who I saw there's a report that maybe Kansas City might go, we messed up, is Will Smith was the savior last year around this time for the Rangers.
Absolutely.
And right now, David Robertson and Kirby Yates, they have been the savior of this bullpen. So they shut down the eighth, they shut down, and Yates shuts down the ninth. Great job. And you get one in Atlanta. And you go 5-5. I'm not saying successful, but when you go on the road, if you can play .500 all year on the road, it gives you a chance to make the playoffs. So I just wanted to go with that decent job. You know, you had Jack Leiter make a start on the road trip. It didn't go the way that we wanted it to go. And
what did you think about the move to flip that for Owen White then?
I don't think that there was, after the way Jack pitched, I don't think you could give him another start immediately in the major leagues.
Okay.
And so I think that you have Jack go down. He got a lesson. You talked to him a little bit more than I did. I joined the conversation a little bit later. We know that Jack Leiter's a learner.
He's
a smart kid. And I say kid, a young man. He's almost 24 years old. I just think that he's learning. And it's taking him a little bit longer to learn this, but his stuff is there. You saw in that first inning that it's there. It's just he's not consistent, and I think he gets a little bit too fired up on the mound.
I'm really glad you said that last part. I don't want to derail where you're going, but let me ask you a question. I know everybody in Major League Baseball, like, they want it, but do you think for some people that's their detriment? That's their downfall is they want it, like, so much that...
Yes, and I think he feels the pressure of being the number 2 overall pick. And he did get a lot of money. I mean, it wasn't like, don't take me number two, please take me in the second round so I don't have pressure on me. I mean, but I do think that there's a lot of pressure. When you're a top five pick overall for a team, there's a lot of pressure put on you to be somewhat of a superstar player and somewhat immediately. And I do think that I don't know him well at all, but he might just get down on himself really quickly. But I think that he's still going to make another five starts for you this year.
Yeah.
He did, and maybe more than five starts.
Yeah, he sounded like he got down and wanted to beat himself up after that. But I think he's going to get opportunities. I've compared it to the Cody Bradford thing a lot.
He got crushed against Atlanta's first start.
He's a bridge. He gets opportunities. Maybe he's serviceable. Cody Bradford was useful playoff for an inning, you know, here and there. So,
okay, so I want to go to another top five pick in a draft. Right. And I want to talk about Wyatt Langford. And here's my opinion. I don't know this as a fact. It's only an opinion. I do think him being a designated hitter the majority of the games is hurting him tremendously. I if you remember early on in spring training, I was like, I'm totally against this. They have to know that this could – everybody says, like in the history of baseball, since the designated hitter came into effect, they're like, you don't put young kids at designated hitter unless they literally can't play the field. Like if they're that bad at defense, then we get it. But Wyatt Langford isn't. You see how he runs. Yes. He can go chase down fly balls if you give him the opportunity to. And I get why the Rangers are putting him at DH. He is the best option in your organization to be the designated hitter, I guess. But I do think that it is really causing him to press a little bit because he just sits there and he watches the game. And I know that people listening right now are not radio people, as in this business. But I was telling you before the show, I said, can you imagine if you came in here and you did all the prep that you're going to do?
Yeah.
But they're like, every day from now on, you have the 11 o'clock segment that you get and you have the 1 o'clock segment. Besides that, you have to just sit in here, have the microphone kind of in front of you, but it can never be turned on and you're never going to get to talk about any of the other things. You have the 11 and the 1, and that's how you make a difference on our show.
The example that I thought of, Corey, is the first time we filled in, this was years ago, we filled in for Rage and we did a show that was 4 hours long and we were going to do it all week and maybe the next week. We talked a million miles per hour because we were like, I got to get all my stuff in. I got to get this and this and this and this and this. And it just was very different than our normal show.
Yeah, we had very little like direction and focus for sure. And that's when Grego sat us down and said, what the F are y'all doing? Y'all are better than this.
That's a true story.
So maybe somebody can sit down with
Wyatt. It's, well, for Wyatt, I do think he has to play left field. Now, Evan Carter made two tremendous plays yesterday, diving plays that if Wyatt Langford's out there, I don't know if he makes them or not.
Yeah.
It's taken Evan some time to learn left field. He was a center fielder for his whole minor league career for the most part. Played a little corner, but mostly center field. And I'm just wondering, I don't know this, when the Rangers look at Wyatt Langford and go, how big of a disservice are we doing to his offensive game by having him DH 80% of the games he's in?
Yeah, I wonder too, because the hitting doesn't look bad at all. And somebody sent in, why aren't the Rangers challenging more of these plays? And we should probably talk about that at some point. His hitting has not been that bad, but the pop is non-existent.
Yeah, and so I wanted to go to this. So Wyatt Langford, I'll give his numbers real quick, and then I'll go to Gunnar Henderson, who won Rookie of the Year last year. And if you want to pull this up for me, because I don't have it, the 2023 overall stats for Gunnar Henderson. Wyatt Langford right now is batting .241 with 3 extra base hits, 9 RBIs, and a .601 OPS. Now, we are on April 22nd. Let me click on Gunnar Henderson, who won Rookie of the Year.
I got his stuff ready to go.
And he has a chance. Gunnar Henderson literally is a top 5 candidate right now for AL MVP. Now, we're miles away from that being decided.
Yeah.
But Gunnar Henderson right now, if you were to take a vote, he would finish in the top 5 in MVP voting in the American League. What did Gunnar Henderson finish the season off last year as Rookie of the Year?
28 home runs, 82 RBIs, .255 average with an OPS of 8.14 and a WAR of 6.3.
Seems good.
Okay, you ready for this?
He had, by the way, in case you're curious, he had 66 extra base hits.
On April 22nd of last year, Gunnar Henderson was batting 193 with one home run and a 668 OPS. At the end of April, on April 30th, after the game was over at Detroit for the Baltimore Orioles, Gunnar Henderson, future rookie of the year in 2023. I'm not telling you Wyatt Langford's going to end up being Gunnar Henderson this year.
I like this, though.
At the end of April, he was batting 189 with a 311 slug and a 659 OPS with two home runs on the year. And let me count real quick. 1, 2, 3, 4 RBIs. Gunnar Henderson, at the end of April, had two home runs, 4 RBIs, batting 189. Now, he was playing shortstop every day when he got called up. I do think it would help Wyatt Langford out. It might hurt the team a little bit defensively. I'm going to be honest here. I think that your best defensive outfield is Evan Carter in left, Leody Taveras in center, and Adolis Garcia in right. But I'm wondering if it could help out Wyatt Langford. It will hurt probably Leody. You would probably move Evan Carter to center field for against right-handed pitchers, and Leody would now be either your designated hitter or your outfielder off the bench, and go, we might think that this could help out Wyatt Langford being an outfielder instead of sitting there out of a 2.5-hour game. He literally sits on the bench 2 hours and 20 minutes of the game.
And I think Bochy is kind of like, I wish in this instance, Leody is what Leody is, and we know that. I wish that there would be some sort of separation between the two. You know, I think if I'm Bochy, I'm hoping, Wyatt, show me you got something so I can actually make that call and pull the trigger on a move like that.
Real quick, because I know we got to go to break here. At the end of May, Gunnar Henderson had a total of 5 home runs and was batting 201 with a 702 OPS. It was a little bit better, but it wasn't until now. After I get past May, things start changing a whole bunch.
Right.
So just, I'm saying give Wyatt Langford time. At the same time, I'm just wondering, Chris Young, Bruce Bochy, the organization, do they go, hey, can Wyatt Langford do this being a designated hitter? Because in the history of baseball, everybody has said, and pretty much has always been right, you put a young rookie who's a very good athlete who can play defense, and you just say, you are just going to be a designated hitter. Most organizations say we can't do that to the young man.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that's the reason why Langford's off to a slow start. Gunnar Henderson got off to a slow start. Right now, Jackson Holliday's off to a slow start. And so I know that Bobby Witt Jr. did not live up to expectations his rookie year.
That's true. And now he's amazing.
Right. So I would say it's going to take time. He's going to be awesome. But I do think that they have some questions right now that they don't know the exact answers to.
Man, holy cow. Jackson Holliday is off to an awful start. 1 for 30?
Yeah.
Woo! So, the point is, give it time.
Yeah.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time for Wanker of the Weekend. Who was the best at being the worst, and why did this person try to break news from 30 years ago? We'll do it next right here on The Fan.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.